أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. وبعد، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، always and forever we begin with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His forgiveness, we ask Him for His mercy. We testify and we state with full firmness and conviction that there is none that is worthy of worship but Allah, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His worshipping slave and final messenger. Ahibbati fillah, those who we love for our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I continually advise and command and admonish myself and you with taqwallah azza wa jal. The sincerity of thought and awareness and conviction of our dealings with Him in the capacity that He is most deserving of us, seeking that we depart from this worldly life in no other condition than willful, voluntary, intentional submission to Him Azza wa Jal. And I pray that our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our Shafi'a and the one who will intercede on our behalf so that we may be admitted into Jannat al-Firdaus due to the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is my great honor, my pleasure to be with my brothers and sisters here in the city of Birmingham, in particular in this blessed masjid, the Masjid of Ahlul Sunnah in Green Lane. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make those who are in attendance with us here, those who are here for sincerity of purpose and in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has joined me and you from our various continents, I'm well aware of the various time zones. It's nearly midnight in Perth, where I just came from yesterday. So I ask you to keep me awake, inshallah. I hope to keep you awake, bi'ibnillahi ta'ala. I pray the one that who has gathered us from our different countries, gathered us all together in Jannatul Firdaus with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala write you and I amongst the students of this blessed deen, of this blessed ilm, this knowledge that leads us to discovering Him the Most High in all aspects of our life. We have a wonderful discussion, and really, I know that the time that you have spent sitting is a time that has been worthwhile. And I want my discussion with you to be more engaging than just simply me admonishing you. And I want it to be something that is banna, something formative, that builds in me and you a desire to improve ourselves in our relationship with Allah, which equals being better human beings. So I want to talk about the Quran as being a tool for personal development, a map, a guide, a way that leads us to becoming better people. And that has always been the aim of the message that was sent with the prophets of Allah. The tawheed that we receive and the singling out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as al-ma'bud, the only one we worship, leads us also to perfect our character. And therefore tawheed builds character. Tawheed builds character. For this reason, yaqulu nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith narrated by Imam Muslim, innama bu'ithtu. The purpose of my being sent, of me being sent to humanity, لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, is to perfect the akhlaq, the character that people interchange with one another, the etiquette they display with one another. The essence of the Tawheed is that your relationship that is personal between you and Allah in your heart manifests itself in your tongue, with your eyes, in your ears, with your hand, with your feet, with your heart, with your intentions, with your sleep, with your wakeful moments. Character, khuluq. Part of the studies of our faith and one of the lost arts is al-muru'a, chivalry, how to be a man. Takmilat al-rujula. It's not what is a man, but being a good man. The Arab, they used to have this concept of al-rajul al-kamil, the perfect man, the complete man. The one who, when you see him, you say, this is someone that I can be led by. This is someone that I would give my daughter to. This is someone I would be honored to be married to them. This is someone I can put in dispute between me and others. This is someone, even when I oppose him, I know he will deal with me justly. This is someone, if I entrust him with a secret, he won't betray it. Someone who, if I give amana, it's as if I kept it in my home. Someone who, when he speaks, his word is a bond. It is like a covenant. I can move on his instruction, and I can delay on his recommendation. I will do business with him. I would be honored to travel with him. I recommend him to others. Muru'ah. Rajul. Where is this khuluq? Where does this manifest come from? Min kitabillahi azza wa jal. This is why Umar says the things that we quote. You know, you'll see it lots on Facebook, on Twitter. We write the words, right? We write these words often. You know, Umar would say, when we had izzah, our honor was the Quran. Anytime we wanted honor outside the book of Allah, Allah would humiliate us. We hear these words. What does this mean? It's that completion of your development as a human being. I want you to understand, Ya Abdullah, wallahi, as a reminder to you and I, the pursuit of Islam leads you to Iman, which allows you to understand that there is Ihsan. Ihsan, this righteousness, this seeking of perfection is not attainable. You become from Al-Muhsineen, but you never attain completion in it. To seek perfection in your relationship with Allah means you're in the pursuit of it. You're always drawing closer to Allah. You know you will not attain it. Therefore, the ulama, they have these words where they say that the one who doesn't know thinks he knows. I'm sure. You sure? I'm sure. How sure are you? Very sure. The one who knows they don't know. They're sure, but there's also doubt. Listen to Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahmatullahi alayhi. This is the madhab of Ahl al-Sunnah. What do the Imams of Ahl al-Sunnah, they say? They say to you and I, that I know I am on the haqq. I'm on the truth. My opinion is the truth. And I believe you are wrong in your stance, in your fiqh. You're wrong. But you could be right and I could be wrong. Allahu Akbar. You read this in the books of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa. You read this in the books of Al-Shafi'i. I'm right and I believe you're wrong. But I know I could be wrong and you could be right. The Quran becomes that balance. I want to talk to you first in our steps towards this personal development. This view of the world that leads us to an enlightened process of approaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our salah, you begin reciting the Quran with Surah Al-Fatiha, Umm Al-Kitab, the mother of the book, the master of the book, As-Sab' Al-Mathani, the blessed seven verses. And you begin initially by extolling virtue upon Allah and praise of Allah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of Allah, I begin everything. Because He is the merciful, the especially merciful, the Lord of mercy. I praise Him. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. The Lord of all that exists. Why? Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. You remind yourself and others مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, the one who will hold me accountable for my words and deeds and actions and the illicit movements of my heart. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Only you, Allah, do I turn to in worship. Only you do I seek. Then you make the first dua, the first request. The first statements of the Quran is praise of Allah. The first dua you make, the basis of our salah, the basis of our reading, the simplification of the Quran in ayat, in a verse, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. O Allah, lead us and keep us upon the straight path. This is the ayah I want to spend a little bit of time with you today. Sirat and mustaqim mean the same thing. A straight road is sirat. Mustaqim means straighter in the straightness. It means mustaqim, balanced in it. And therefore this word istiqama, it's not just straightforward. It means balanced in whichever direction I am in. When you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this hidayah, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, you're saying, oh Allah, keep me balanced in life. What does this mean? Our first stages of personal development with the Quran. Recognize, ya Abdullah, that as firm as you are standing, you're standing upright. Anta, you say we are on istiqama. You say that man, huwa mustaqim, he's upright. What does that mean? He's standing firm, tall. The feet beneath his feet are planted. It's easy to be in istiqama when everything is going well in your life. It's easy. When you're healthy, mustaqim, simple. When you have a wife, when you have children, simple. It's easy when you're going to school, when you have a job, when you have a home, when you have comfort. When you're not under assault and not under difficulty. When everything is stable in your life, anta mustaqim, you're upright. But, when the ground beneath you shifts and the earth beneath you shakes and the stability you had in your life is removed, you're not upright. The dua of the Salihin, when you look in the Quran, you look Surah Al-Baqarah. What did Dawood and the people say when they faced Goliath, Jalut? قَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا. Our Lord, bring down upon us patience and make our feet firm. Keep us steady because it's difficult. Abdullah, it's difficult when the feet are shaken, when illness strikes, when divorce is possible, when poverty is everywhere, when your children are unruly, when your husband is unkind, when your wife is disobedient, when the community pushes you to the side, when the one you trust betrays, and the one you confide in is unruly. And the one who opposes you, fahish, is overboard in vulgarity. It's easy to lose yourself. It's easy for you to return an insult with insult. It's easy for you to assume Allah is not listening to your dua when you ask and it's not immediately answered. It's easy to lose yourself when the ground that was stable has shifted. But the Quran becomes that personal tool of stability. Allahu Akbar. You find solutions to the problems of your life in the Quran. The first issue of balance, therefore, Abdullah, and the first issue that we seek in our personal development is to find that which will keep us firm when others around us crumble. Firmness is attained by a relationship that you have with the Quran, irrespective of the conditions of your life, irrespective of your wealth or poverty, of your marital status, of your health. The Quran becomes the first place you look for the shifa, for what it ails your heart. The second part of ihdina, oh Allah, lead us to this straight path, as-sirat, al-mustaqim, is that although you may think that balance is just being upright, there will be times in your life where you yourself will cause the imbalance. You lean too much to one side at the detriment of the other side. And therefore, you know, if I dramatize, if I hold my phone in the middle, we are al-ummat al. What is our ummah? Wasta, the middle ground. We're held firm in the middle. If you go a little bit this way, you're going to fall. Khalas. You have no counterbalance. You have nothing to make you upright. The Quran is that which makes you upright. If you go too far this way, the Quran pulls you back. If you go too deficient, the Quran pulls you back. You can go to extreme in adding what is not there. The Quran centers you. And you can go to extreme by eliminating what's there. So the Quran centers you. Into both circumstances in the life of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ heard of people who had virtuous, good deeds. We're not talking bad deeds. One of them said, I need to worship Allah. I desire Jannah. I want a path to righteousness. I want to ensure salvation. I will not sleep at night ever. And I will stay awake in prayer, in salah, every night. Another one said, I cannot take the responsibility of a wife who will bring children. How will I worship Allah if I have to feed others? I can survive on meager things, on the kindness of strangers. But if I have a spouse and if I have a mas'uliyya and responsibility, I won't be able to worship Allah. I will not marry. Another said, every day of my life, every day I will never break my fast. Every day I will fast from dawn until dusk. The Prophet heard of this sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Balance. He said, I fast and I break my fast. I have married from women. I pray at night and I sleep at night. Man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. The one who leaves my sunnah, even in addition, even in doing these good things, cannot be from my community, from the community of the Quran sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Balance, come back. Don't go too far. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells you in the authentic hadith, hate no one to an extreme, because perhaps tomorrow they will be your friend. Could you imagine, Ya Abdullah, if our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam despised Umar? Could you imagine if Zinira, a slave that Umar radiallahu anhu, before his Islam, would beat her to unconsciousness? Khalas, could not recover consciousness for days. Umar radiallahu anhu. Could you imagine Khalid? If there was hatred in the hearts towards Khalid, the one who brought about the death of Hamza in the Battle of Uhud, radiallahu anhum wa ardahum. Could you imagine if there was hatred that you cancelled them out? They could never do good. I could never accept them. They've done what they've done, khalas. La wallah, balance. Sirat al-mustaqim. Third is that the Quran counterbalances and allows you an opportunity to invest in your future. Three things. Firmness, the Quran, we're going to talk about how. Firmness, it pulls you back from the brink of falling over into extremism, into radicalism, into deficiency, into liberalism. It pulls you back in line. And third, it tells you who and what can counterbalance those things. Abdullah, do not ever in your life think that you can draw and take out what you have not put in. You are not just if you are seeking from Allah, from others, what you are not giving in. If you want your wife to love you and you don't love her, how's it going to work, ya akhi? If you want your children to respect you and you are harsh and abusive, how will they do it? If you want to be a man of standing in the community, but you give half-truths, you align with a racial ethnicity, oh, we are from this place, khalas. How do you find, how will someone respect you? There has to be what you find that you invest, what you put in is what you can take out. You can never expect to take out more than what you have put in. You want this masjid to flourish? Put something in it. Dedicate time towards it. Give assistance. I'm not talking about money. Give effort. But don't just take, take, take. You want your children to be people of righteousness? Invest in them in time. Invest in them in teaching. Invest in being part of their life, sharing in their experiences. Uprightness, nobility. So those three things we will address from the Quran with examples from the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first, which is finding firmness and asking Allah for patience. I want you to consider our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah describes our Prophet in the Quran by saying, "Hatta idha stay'asa ar-rusul." All of the messengers and the Sayyid of the messengers, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until they came to a point of despair, the messengers of Allah would be tested in their life to such a degree that even the pillars would seem to be nearing the point of crumble. حَتَّى اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا. And they and those who believed in them came to a breaking point where they thought that they had been lied to. جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. It is at that point where they have determined their faith in Allah and have remained firm upon the truth. جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. Our victory and deliverance comes to them. What is the lesson from this ayah? What is the lesson that we take in our personal development? Never, ya Abdullah, never, ya Amatullah, my brother, my sister in al-Islam, never, ever, ever in your life assume that Allah is not with you. Allahu Akbar. Allah is with you in the most difficult circumstances. And Allah is with you in the most ease of your circumstances. Inni ma'akuma. Allah says to Musa and Harun, I have always been with you. Look at how Allah speaks to Musa alayhi salam. Musa says, how can I go to Fir'aun? I used to live with him. I killed a man who was in his from his people. I fled from them. How can I return and say I'm a prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And Allah says, وَلَقَدْ مَنَنَّا عَلَيْكَ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى. Ya Musa, even when you were a baby, I was with you. I made the one who your mother feared, the one who is aduun li wa lah, who is an enemy of Allah and his enemy, become his primary caregiver. Allah is with you, ya Abdullah. In the most difficult circumstances in your life, you will find that if you remain firm with Allah, wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah. If you remain patient and enduring, and if you remain connected, salah, connected to Allah, you are from those who are victorious. Even if everyone around you thinks you have lost, even if everyone around you thinks that you have been humiliated, you are victorious with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want you, my dear brothers, to understand that this dunya that we are living, much of it is like a mirage. You have to understand, you know, the promotional video of this conference was Sheikh Mishari, hafizahullah, reciting Al-Haqqa. The absolute truth, the absolute reality. Do you know what this is? This absolute reality, it's not just the day of judgment. Is that you will wake up, and I use this word carefully. You will wake up in your grave, and you will whisper to others, as Allah says in the Quran, يَتَخَافَتُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ. You will turn to the man next to you and you will say, how long were we asleep for? You've been dead for years, some thousands of years. How long were we asleep for? قالوا لبثنا يوما أو بعض يوم. Maybe a day or more, less. أمثلهم طريقة لبثتم إلا يوما. The one who has the clearest sight will say it was only like a day. This whole life you lived, when you come out of your grave and you will look and you will remember your life, you will say it was a day. Your whole life will seem like a day to that eternity when you return to Allah al-Haqq. The reality of your life, the honor you receive then will make this world feel like a dream. Be with Allah. Establish that trust. Remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أشد الناس بلاء الأنبياء. Those who are the most trusted of the servants of Allah are the prophets of Allah. ثم الأمثل فالأمثل. The one who is most in difficulty are those nearest to them in character, in conduct, in belief. يبتلى الرجل على حسب دينه. A person is tested in accordance to the level of his faith. The more difficult your test, don't think I'm talking about hardship alone. The BMW you drive, brother, is a big test. This masjid you and I are sitting in the comfort of air conditioning, of heating, of nice carpet, it is a huge test. Do you think, Ya Abdullah, that your brother, who's living on the borders of Syria and Turkey, who's expelled from his home, lost his business, had assaults committed to his wife and daughter, whose children were forsaken, who's been cut off from the world, you think that if he misses a salah and you miss a salah, you're going to come to Allah on the Day of Judgment on equal ground? La wallah. You think because you live a mile away from the masjid, oh, I don't hear the nida, I can't come, am I going to come with the car and there's parking? And you think you missing the jama'ah is like he missing the jama'ah? You think you being inattentive to the sunan and the nafl is like him missing sunnah and nafl? La wallah. How can you balance it? كيف تحكمون؟ يبتلى الرجل على حسب دينه. Your test, my test, the comfort of alhamdulillah, a prosperous life in Australia, in Britain, is a huge, huge test that you will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَرَّفَكَ نِعَمَهُ فَعَرَفْتَهَا. And Allah will show the blessing He gave you and you will recognize it. Here is you, here is him. مَا عَمِلْتَ فِيهَا. What did you do in comparison to what he did? I say to my students, young students, some of them, they're saving up for a video game system, you know, young kids, mashallah, that, you know, they've saved up $400 or $500. And I say, look, if I have in the bank $50,000 and you have $500, and I come in Ramadan and I give $500 and you give $500, is it the same? La wallah. وَفَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ. Some have been given what others haven't in rizq. Are we the same? You've given the same amount. You might give £5, Ya Abdullah, and I might give £500. Maybe Allah has given me wealth and has not given you wealth. Your £5 will be accepted many, 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 many times more than the one who gave 5, 10, 50, 1,000. Because you're a surety in the trust of Allah. Second, we spoke about extremism, radicalization, about deficiency and neglect. Both are extremes, and the Quran seeks to develop us so that we don't go this way or that way, that we come upon the truth and in the middle. When Allah describes our ummah as wasata, He says, you are in the middle. Some people, we forget what it means to be in the middle. Middle means protected. If this is a brick, and I have a brick above it, a brick to the side, a brick under it, a brick opposing it, the one in the middle is the one who is mahsuna, protected. It will not erode until all that around it is broken up first. This is our ummah. Our ummah is sheltered from the adversities of life due to the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You guard your salah with sunnah. You guard your sunnah with nafl. You guard your siyam in Ramadan by fasting Mondays and Thursdays. 13, 14, 15 of every month. Wasata, you're in the middle. But you cannot add more bricks than that middle brick can take. If you burden too much on that foundation laid by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you're going to break the foundation, the building's going to collapse. You cannot add more than what has been put by our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore you hear these words in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he speaks to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying to him to follow one who preceded him. وَأَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you follow Ibrahim. Allahu Akbar. Even you, the best of the best, the loftiest of those who have attained heights of spiritual, physical, material development with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Muhammad, اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ. Don't go past what Ibrahim set in his terms of being hanif, pure in seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those confines are based on knowledge and sure knowledge. Everyone, my dear brother and sister in al-Islam, everyone other than our Nabi and than our Prophet, yu'khadh minhu wa yurad. You can take from them, and there are other things that they can have return to them. I want you to think, you know, some words we misuse. Some words are used out there in the world. I don't mean just within the Muslim world. I mean the broader community. People, you read in the newspaper words like fatwa. And people think, you know, the fatwa was given khalas. Fatwa is a legal opinion by an expert, but it is a opinion. There's one fatwa and another fatwa. Opinion. There is one statement and another statement. Our tradition and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is built in its most elemental basis upon his words, his actions, and the maqasid, the intentions of why he did and said what he did and said sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran therefore calls you back to come and to look at that way of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want your desire, the things you love and the things you hate, to be the things he loved and the things he hated. Your hawa, what you think of, what you desire, is what he desired sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know how blessed you are, ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah. You, my brother sitting in front of me, wallahi, wallahi, had you been alive at the time of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you've been amongst those people in Quraysh, you would have followed him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You would have seen the truth and come to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have that fitrah and inclination and desire to be from the ahbab and the sahaba of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the proof is that you accept him today. And those who rejected Muhammad then sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if they were alive today, they would reject him now. Those who reject Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam now, if they were alive then and saw him then and heard from him then, they would reject him then. You are from the chosen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, blessed to have been given this hidayah, this cherished gift of being a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let not your name or your children's name be Muhammad, but make more importantly than just the naming of our children, the aspect of following his conduct and code in that upper personality, in that khuluq, in that karam of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Third, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says to him about balancing and counterbalance, how the Quran pulls us right and left and it shows us the middle course. I want you to consider that in every aspect of the Prophet's life sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there can be a lesson from it. And when you look in the Quran, and part of my discussion later on today after Salat al-Maghrib, is that we're going to talk about how the Quran is so universal. You can find ضَرَبْنَا لِلنَّاسِ فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ, an example of everything. You want to see any kind of relationship, any kind of transaction, there is a parable in the Quran. You want to see a husband and wife working towards Allah, you look at Ibrahim and his wife Sarah, at Zakariya and his wife. You want to see a good man and an evil woman, you see Lut and his wife, Nuh and his wife. You want to see a good woman and a wretched man, you see Asiya and Fir'aun. You want to see an adopted son and a tyrannical father, Fir'aun and Musa. You want to see a person who commits a major sin in error, murder, death, manslaughter, killing, and his repentance and reformation and personal development. You look at Musa alayhi salam. You want to see brothers who hate a brother. Look at Yusuf. You want to see forgiveness within the family. Look at Yusuf. You want to see a brother who loves his brother and tries to save him. Look at Yusuf alayhi salam. You want to see a father who is patient with disobedient children. Look at Yaqub. You want to see a father and son working for Allah, Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq. You want to see a marital relationship where a husband and wife assist one another in good. You look at our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his wives. You want to see a father losing a son. Look at Nuh. You want to see a father having a son leave him for the dunya, leave him for kufr. Look at Nuh. You want to see daughters who assist their father. Look at Lut. Everything is in the Quran. It gives you a parable to your life that you assume it, but you have to open it. You have to search. You have to see. What has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired and gifted us in this wonderful, wonderful Quran? You're going to say, and I wish to conclude with these words. You're going to say, Brother Yahya, sometimes the Quran seems unapproachable. And this is a reality for me and you. Not everyone opens the Quran and sees what the next person sees or benefits what the next person benefits. And this is from Allah. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Above everyone endowed with knowledge is one who is more knowledgeable. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, and what you can find is the examples from the sunnah and the actions of the sahaba. In one of the most beautiful hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, Umar radiallahu anhu, he is Amir al-Mu'mineen after the death of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhuma. Umar is sitting with the council of the elders, those who witnessed the battle of Badr. And sometimes it would almost seem to Umar that they would look down at some of the younger Sahaba who had not lived and witnessed the battle of Badr, who were not there from the very beginning with the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Umar would invite purposefully Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and would say to him, sit with us. And Abdullah ibn Abbas, who was a young guy, still in his teens, he would be shy to sit with the likes of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. You know, you don't just walk in on Uthman radiallahu anhu. The Prophet ﷺ would fix his clothing before he met Uthman. You're not just going to sit next to the man radiallahu anhuma. You don't just roll up on him. So he was scared. Abdullah ibn Abbas, Turjuman al-Quran, the one who gives us the explanation of the Quran. So Umar would say, come. And one day, Umar, to show the virtue of Ibn Abbas, he says to the Sahaba, مَن مَنْكُمْ, who from you can tell us what they know about إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, about that shortest surah of the Quran, one of the shortest of the Quran. A surah we all know. And many of the Sahaba said it predicted to the Prophet the victory of Islam and this and this and this. And Abdul Umar ibn Khattab didn't say yes or no. And then he said, what do you say, Ibn Abbas? And he said, I say different to them. He didn't say they're wrong. I say something different. So he said, tell us. He said, I believe this surah was the eulogy and the prediction of the imminent death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This surah, Ibadallah, that we recite so often in the Quran. I just want to give you an example of how we connected this Quran. It's not just the words, but there's emotion, there's meaning, there's history in that word. When the surah was revealed, Abu Bakr, when he heard the Prophet recite it on the minbar, when it was first revealed, he began to weep. And the people said, Ma bihadha al-shaykh? What's happened to this old man, radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr? Why is he crying, saying, Fidaka nafsi ya Rasulullah, I would sacrifice my life for your life, O Messenger of Allah. I wish that Allah takes my years and puts them to yours, ya Rasulullah. Fidaka nafsi. What's happened to him? Why is he crying this way? They didn't understand. The surah completed Allah's favor upon the Messenger Muhammad ﷺ. That day, when the death of the Prophet ﷺ occurred, as he was in the house of Aisha, in the morning, in the Fajr prayer, he opened the curtain from his room and he saw the Sahaba standing in prayer. And when they saw him, Abu Bakr was leading the salah. They made a noise for Abu Bakr, move back, the Prophet standing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's well enough to come back and lead the prayers. You've been leading us for 4 days, move back. And Abu Bakr began to move back, radiallahu anhu. He saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet pointed to him, no, continue, continue. And they say that his face was beaming, his smile was brighter than the moon. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he reclined in the chest of Aisha. And she heard him respond to the angel of death. Bal al-rafiq al-a'la. No, I choose the high abode to be near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she says, Thaqul. His weight became heavy upon me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His soul departed. And she wept and screamed out, Mata Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Sahaba outside in the masjid, they heard her say this. The Prophet has died sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar, who was camped outside his home, drew his sword and said, there are hypocrites who have said that the Prophet has died sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet has not died. He has gone to visit his Lord as Moses visited his Lord for 40 days. And when he returns, he will punish those who say this word. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who was at a distance, tried to return to the masjid. In that moment, Uthman could not carry his body. He sat on the ground, paralyzed in grief. Abu Bakr is arriving. Ali. He sees this moment and his tongue became still, couldn't speak. One of the men of the Ansar, who had seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that morning, who had looked in that beautiful face of the messenger, he said, Mata Rasulullah? Is it true he has died sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allahumma khudh basari hatta la anzura ila wajhin ba'da Rasulillah. Oh Allah, remove my sight, so I don't look to a face after the face of our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his eyes departed their sight. The Medina was in grief. It darkened. And Abu Bakr said those words of balance, said those words of the Quran. When the calamity struck, Abu Bakr stood on the minbar after verifying the truth. He kissed our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the forehead. And he greeted him and he said, Tibta hayyan wa mayyita. You were always blessed and fragrant in life and after death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You were always honored. And as for the death that was written for you, you have tasted it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you will never face this pain again. And he stood on the minbar. And he said, the one who worshipped Muhammad, let him know Muhammad has died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ومن كان يعبد الله فإن الله حي لا يموت. The one who worships Allah, let him know Allah is alive and will never cease to be. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran centers our life. He then recited an ayah that Umar, and we know who is Umar. He said, it's like I've never heard this verse. I've read it thousands of times. I've learned it from the tongue of our Prophet ﷺ, but its meaning had never touched my heart. I had forgotten it until that moment when Abu Bakr said, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Muhammad is nothing more than a messenger. أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. If he was to die or to be killed in battle, would you return from the truth that you have accepted? Bilal radiallahu anhu, when the time for prayer came, he was the mu'adhin of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he began the adhan until he reached Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. When he heard and attempted to say wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan, inqata'a sawtuh. He couldn't continue the adhan. He couldn't bring and bear to say ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Bakr would take over the adhan and make the adhan to its completion. Soon after the burial, Abu Bilal radiallahu anhu asked Abu Bakr and Umar, let me go out, let me travel. And he went with the Jaish, with the army, all the way to Damascus in Syria. And he did not return until he saw our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream, where the Prophet said, why have you forsaken me, Ya Bilal? Why have you departed for so long? And the moment he woke up, he put on his clothes, got on his horse, and traveled to Al-Madinah. And when he arrived, the people said, Ya Bilal, adhin fin nas, make the adhan. When Bilal stood up to make the adhan, and they heard him say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And they heard the voice that used to be tied with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fajarat al-Madinah bil-buka, the Medina burst into tears. وَامْتَلَأَ al-masjid. And the masjid was filled and filled. Even the women who could not pray stood outside. And he could not complete the adhan. Bilal is fortunate to have made the adhan from the roof of the Kaaba. And for years in Al-Madina. And when Umar conquered Masjid Al-Aqsa, Umar ordered Bilal to make the adhan. And when the Jaish, the army of Muhammad, heard his name recited again by Bilal, they knew that the promise of Allah has always been true from the very first days when people like Bilal were tortured for their belief. Ahadun ahad. He is one, he is one. Abdullah, uthbut. Hold on to the Quran. Be steadfast. Develop a relationship with the word of Allah. When you recite, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, remember the history and the love that the Sahaba had for our messenger. Remember the moments of his sacrifice. Remember the victory that has come after years of struggle, after years of hardship. There is prosperity and gain and comfort. Remember our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's difficulty to bring this Quran as it is for you and I here today. I leave you with one final statement from our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, خيركم, the best of you, من تعلم القرآن وعلمه, is the one who learns the Quran. The beginning is to learn and then to teach it. The Quran is not something you take, but you take and you give to others. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seals my life and your life with the love of the Quran. I pray that the Quran is the light of our eyes and the comfort of our heart and the relief of our pain and distress and depression. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the love of the Quran in our children's chest and makes them from those who recite the Quran and practice its deeds. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. I pray for you and I, my dear brothers and sisters, for your safety and your comfort. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give great reward to our brothers and sisters who have been in assistance and volunteering to bring together this conference. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la
ilaha. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.